Morning. Can I invite you to take your seats, please? And nice warm welcome in here. Well, it's warm in here. We welcome those who are online. Merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we welcome you here with us today. We thank you that you have been with us through the challenges of last week and kept us safe. We pray for those of our congregation and those that we know who are ill or struggling at this time, that you'll draw close to them and be their strength. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, many that we take granted for, really. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We thank you for your biggest gift to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him to live amongst us, to teach us, to show us your love, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, so that we can have a relationship with you when we turn to you. Forgive us for the things that we've done, said and thought that we shouldn't have done, and for the things you've wanted us to do and that we've chosen not to. We thank you that you are a gracious God who forgives us for our sins when we turn to you. Thank you, Father.
Good morning. And as Richard Osman says on the House of Games, welcome one, welcome all. Do you ever watch it? It's really good. And of course that extends to those who are watching on YouTube this morning. It's really good to be together, to spend time with our Lord. As I was getting ready to come this morning, a verse popped into my head. It's quite a well-known one, and I've probably shared with it before. It's Psalm 118, verse 24. Does anybody know which one it is? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And in the contemporary English version, it's translated as, this day belongs to the Lord. Let's celebrate and be glad today. It does belong to the Lord, but he wants to share it with us, doesn't he? This is one of the reasons why we're here. We want to share it with him. But I know that there are people here, those watching on YouTube, are finding it really difficult to be glad this morning for all sorts of reasons. Facing difficulties, anxieties, and being glad is probably the last thing that they're feeling. But just trying to be glad can really help. The fact that you're here, that is a good enough reason to be glad, isn't it? To be sharing with each other and getting support and love and fellowship as we meet in this our lovely church family. The fact that the sun's shining and the relief that the snow has gone. I know perhaps some people aren't really, but I certainly am. And if we're really struggling to find something to be glad about, just remember that you are a child of God and he loves you very, very much. So maybe we can live in the moment, just for the rest of the service, or maybe it will extend. Live in the moment and try to be glad. And as Julie prayed, that the Spirit of God will just come over us and just meet every need. So that's my prayer this morning, that we will really feel God's presence amongst us as we go further into the service this morning. So, not a lot to say, really, this week. The notices are very similar to what they have been, except the ladies are meeting this Monday at 1:30 down here at church, and on Tuesday, Mums and Tots will be down here at church at 10 o'clock. The Lunch Club will be meeting again on Thursday at 11:30 until 2. Please come. We had quite a few people last week, even though the weather wasn't too good. But please come. Please bring your friends. It's a lovely time together. So that is actually on Thursday. And on Thursday evening, the trustees are meeting down here at church. So please pray for us at that time. We've got quite a few things to discuss as usual in preparation for the AGM, which is actually on Sunday the 26th of March. I'm sure people will know this by now. There's a list of nominees that are up at the back there. Please be aware that only people who are in the meeting will be able to vote for the re-election of the three deacons. Have you got all the reports in, David? All right. We need them in ASAP if not done that so far, because David will be sending all the documents out this next couple of weeks. So please see him if that's been a problem and you've not been able to do it. And then, of course, the advance notices for the week before Easter, Sunday the 2nd of April, we have the Messy Church, that's Palm Sunday. And then on Tuesday the 4th of April, we have a mini Messy Church. And this is something that Jan is hoping to hold every month. She has had quite a good response, I have to say, so that's very encouraging. She does need help, so please, if you're able to sign up, that would be really good. There's a sheet at the back. Maundy Thursday, the service of reflection with a meal and communion. That's from 6 to 8 o'clock. We need numbers, please. No, there's still a couple of weeks yet, but please sign up as soon as you know that you're able to come. Website, Facebook page, all regularly updated, and the email and letter will be coming out tomorrow as usual. So have a good week.
Right, good morning, everybody. Let's just pray before I start talking this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have been already with us so tangibly this morning, that we've already prayed to you, talked to you this morning, and that we've heard from you through your word, through your scripture, that we've heard through the songs that we've been singing. And Father, I pray for junior church as they're out there learning more about you and becoming closer to you. And Father, I want to thank you so much that we are able to come together, that we are able to come and praise and worship you, to come and praise and worship you and your truth. And Father, I personally humbly ask that my words this morning are your words, that what's not of me won't be heard at all, but what's of you will deeply take root in our hearts, that you'll help us become more like the disciples that you want us to be, blessing us and transforming us for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. So for the last couple of weeks, last few weeks, we have been looking at the theme of Christian confidence. The overarching sort of thrust behind the series is that it will give us confidence to be more effective in the Great Commission. We've already heard several people praying into that this morning. They might not have used those words, but that's what has been happening. We are told, aren't we, go and make disciples. That's our job. And so we need to be effective in that. There are literally thousands of people out there. Thousands of people in Swallow, Nest, Aston and Orton. Thousands of people who don't know Jesus. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, that should break our hearts. If we are serious about it, that should break our hearts. We know them, some of them, probably not all thousands of them, but we do know some of them, because they're our friends, they're our family, they're our neighbours. But we can only take bold steps in doing things like inviting them to Cafe Church, or inviting them to Messy Church, or inviting them to an Easter service, or be bold enough to risk the questions or the sneers by honestly answering, "Oh, church was part of my plans actually at the weekend." We can only do those things if we're confident, can't we? And we've seen that our Christian confidence grows through being convinced of the truth of the gospel, through encouraging each other, through our sense of community, and through remembering how compassionate God has been towards us, and using that as almost a fuel to be compassionate to others. And this week, as you can see, we're having a little bit of a look at the idea that our confidence grows through us having consistent spiritual practices, which sounds way more confusing than it actually is. Jesus himself modelled this for us. It says in Luke's gospel, he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That was harder to say than I thought it was going to be. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And lots of you will know that I'm a little bit of a grammar geek. That word "would" tells us that it was a repeated action in the past. It's something that he would do a lot. He would often do it. It's not that he did it once and then went, job's done, tick. He would often do it, a repeated habit. So with Jesus as our great guide, we're having a little bit of a look at prayer this morning. And I think it's very fitting that it's kind of fallen like this, because it's one of the areas that the leadership of this church are very keen to develop, is our prayer lives as individuals, but our prayer lives as a fellowship. After all, we are encouraged, aren't we, in Scripture, pray without ceasing. Not pray once in a while or pray and tick it off. Pray without ceasing. And about all manner of things. That's in 1 Thessalonians. So how do we do that? How are we doing with that? Pray without ceasing instruction. No need to shout out unless you really want to. But maybe have a bit of a reflection. In your own hearts, do you personally pray each day? And if so, when do you do that? And if so, is that something that comes naturally? Or is it something that is sometimes a little bit of a struggle to make happen? How is it with you? How is that pray without ceasing instruction really with you? And I think probably a lot of people in a lot of seasons of their lives find it a struggle. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, that's a little bit of a struggle, I think that's probably normal. Because if it was something that was dead easy, then there probably wouldn't be a lot of instructions in the Bible about make sure that you do it. So we're having a little bit of a look then this morning about why we should be in the habit of praying. And then I'm going to go through some practicalities that might or might not be helpful, depending on who you are and what sort of thing you like. So, first of all, why? Why should we pray each day? What would motivate you to pray each day? Because it shouldn't come from a place of obligation or duty. It shouldn't just be like a job that you've got to get through, a chore that you've got to do, because it tells you to do it, so therefore I'm going to do it. Okay, if that's where it's coming from, if that's where our motivation is, then that's basically just a form of well, what's called legalism. It's just sort of ticking the box, isn't it? And that can't be good. That's not coming from our heart. That's coming from a sense of sort of obligation and duty. So why should we pray? The Bible is pretty clear, as far as I can work out anyway, is pretty clear that prayer is basically talking to God. Okay? It's not really about listening to God. It's us talking to Him in prayer, and God listens when we pray. That idea that God talks to us in prayer, as far as I can work out, that's not coming from anywhere in the Bible. He talks to us through other ways, but not in prayer, from what I can work out. If I'm wrong, then come and have a chat with me later, because that'll be great. We're all learning, as Suzanne said. But it's also very clear in the Bible that praying will help us stand firm and confident. Okay? And we're going to have a little bit of a look at Philippians chapter 4. So if you have got your church pew Bibles, I love saying pew Bibles, sounds really official. It's on page 982, Philippians 4. If you've got a church Bible that's big print, I'm sorry, I forgot to look. Philippians 4. You could tell me what page it is. And if you've got an app, it'll be on finger, Philippians 4. Because apps don't have pages. 982, Philippians 4. Okay, so as you're sort of finding it, Paul has started the chapter, Philippians 4, chapter 4, by encouraging the Philippians, really, to stand firm. And then he carries on through that chapter by encouraging them to pray about everything. And Paul is saying, he's explaining that praying consistently can give us confidence by giving us a framework to structure our everyday discipleship. So Paul is saying here in chapter 4 that a vital ingredient, if a Christian is to stand firm in his faith and have confidence in who he is, a vital ingredient is prayer. And our life is very often like shifting sand, isn't it? Very occasionally, it's more like a dramatic earthquake. But our everyday life is just, we're standing on shifting sand. It's moving all the time. Our current situations are literally just that, aren't they? Our current situations, what we are facing today. And for good or for bad, it could be very different in just a few short hours. If we're here and we're basking in wonderfulness and we're feeling awesome about stuff, in a couple of hours, something could happen and it could be very, very different, and vice versa. But Paul says if we want to stand firm in the face of all of that uncertainty, everything that life might throw at us, then prayer is absolutely key. And in the same passage of Philippians 4, as you cast your eyes down, we'll dig in deeper in a second. But in the same passage in Philippians 4, Paul talks about anxiety. He says, "Don't pray without ceasing, pray about everything, and don't be anxious about anything." And so it seems as if Paul is saying that anxiety is the opposite of confidence. Anxiety comes when our life, as far as we see it through our own little eyes, anxiety comes when our life is out of control, or actually out of our control. That's what starts our anxiety. When life seems out of our control, then we start to feel anxious and worried. And as Christians, we feel even more anxious and worried when we think that it's out of God's control as well. That's when we start praying, you know, God, where are you in all of this sort of, well, in this situation, where are you? Kind of implying, well, you know, you're not there, you're not in control. And just again, go back into your own heart, and I'll examine mine out loud. Because there are definitely situations when I felt that my life has been out of control. Out of my control. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And there are also sometimes when I've said that I believe that God is in control, but I've still worried. I've still felt anxious. You know, maybe that's true for other people. Said with your lips, God is in control, but still felt anxious in your heart, in your soul. And I think the problem there is that situation basically means that I think God is doing a bad job. I'm saying, God, you're in control, but actually I'm worried about this. That means that I think God's doing a bit of a bad job, and I want the steering wheel back, and I want to drive this situation in the path that I think it should be going in, not in the path that I'm saying and I'm trusting that God is doing. So anxiety, I think, tells us a lot about what we think about God. So why pray? Let's have a little bit of a look then. We're going to kick off at verse 6. Of Philippians 4. Why pray? Well, firstly, because God is God. I think that's one reason. God is God and you are not God. And that's a good reason to pray. Look at verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but let your requests be made known to God." So the opposite to anxiety is God. It's like the antidote to anxiety, because anxiousness is bred out of not fully believing in him. So he says, don't be anxious, be confident and let God be God and pray. Let your requests be made known to him. Stop thinking that you should be in control, which leads to anxiety, and trust that God is in control. Stop demonstrating your independence from God through your prayerlessness, and begin showing your total dependence on him through your prayerfulness. Verse 6 says that we should pray to gain confidence, because God is God and we are not. And the second reason that regular prayer should give us confidence is that God is not only God, but because God is deeply interested in you. It's a funny expression. Maybe it's a symptom of our society. In our work and our personal relationships, we're often reminded to engage in active listening. Don't know whether anyone's done that. Maybe it's a teacher thing. We're told to actively listen to the children when they've got a problem. The idea is that you demonstrate you are actively interested in what someone is saying to you. Can't just be taken for granted. But when we read in the Bible that God is deeply interested in us, he is actively listening. He is actually there and he's deeply interested. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful news. God is God. He's the creator of the universe. He is the one that holds all time and space together. And he's deeply interested in me personally, in you personally, in you personally. Wow. Wow. So again, look into your heart and answer this question. What's worrying you at the moment? You don't have to shout out, but just have a think. What's worrying you at the moment? And then look at verse 6. What are we to worry about? Nothing. Okay, close your eyes, look into your heart again. What haven't you talked to God about recently? And then look back at verse 6. What are we to talk to God about? Second line there up on the screen, everything. There's a pattern, isn't there? Look into your heart again. What aspect of your life do you suspect that God really isn't all that interested in or not all that bothered about? And then look back at verse 6. What is God interested in? Everything. This verse here gives us the confidence that God is interested in absolutely everything about us. The insignificant stuff, the stuff that we're ashamed of, the stuff that we're proud of, everything. Someone once said, it's not anyone that I've actually heard, it's like a little saying. I don't know whether it's even true. Abraham Lincoln once said that everything you read on the internet is true. I read that on the internet. Someone once said, why pray when you can worry and take tranquilizers? But the Bible says, why worry when there is nothing too small for God and nothing too big for God? That's what he's saying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. The God who is God is interested in you. And we can go through our lives totally neglecting prayer or really begrudging 3 minutes and trying to squeeze it in. And then we hit a crisis, don't we? And we wonder where God is. God, where are you? And all along, he's just been deeply interested in us and he's been there and he's been waiting to hear from us. He should probably answer us in those moments. Well, I've been here all along. Where have you been? You know, that's what verse 6 is saying. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. He's right there. He's right there with you, and he always has been. So don't ignore him. You know, how must God feel when we just cruise through life acting as if God doesn't exist for most of it? Now, if we're Christians and we're saying we're not atheists, why would we live like one for a lot of the time? So why pray regularly? Well, as we've seen, because God is God and because he is deeply interested in you. But he's also incredibly generous towards you. Look again at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So it's assumed in this verse that we should have an attitude of thanksgiving, even when we're in the most desperate of circumstances. Paul, don't forget, was writing this verse from prison. He knew what desperate circumstances were like. And yet he threw in that bit there about thanksgiving. He sat there in prison and he thought, I've got loads of stuff to thank God for. And he wrote it in his letter. I have so much to be thankful to God for. And we do, don't we? Just reflect on that. And reflect on that in relation to our individual prayer lives? And what does it mean when we don't thank God? What message are we sending the Almighty Creator when we don't thank God for everything that we should or we could? I don't know about you, people who are parents, or even, you know, could work in a workplace, I guess. But as me as a dad, it really annoys me to be taken for granted by my children. It really annoys me. Sorry, Thomas, but it does. I didn't think he was going to be in this room when I wrote this down. But you know, I'm going to muscle on through. As a children, I'm really used to 32 children an hour going through my room and never a one thanking me, really, very, very rare, thanking me for enriching their lives and watering their brains for that hour and sending them out a more rounded individual than they were when they walked in. Very rarely happens, and it honestly doesn't bother me that it does. Okay, I'm not expecting them all to sort of high-five me and go, "Sir, thank you. I now know the subjunctive in French. Que ça puisse être excellent." You know, they're not doing that. That's fine. That's fine. But with my children, it seems to be a different thing. Okay? It irks and annoys me. And I know it's my failing, and it's very definitely something I need to pray about, but it irritates me when they don't even acknowledge that I've sat in a cold car park in deepest Doncaster for an hour waiting for them to come out of whatever they've been doing. Yeah, I'm not expecting huge amounts of, you know, well, just a thank you would be good. Or even worse, when one of them is cross and has stopped talking to me in a bit of a strop, and then only breaks their silence when they want food, money, or a lift somewhere. Being used by people is pretty annoying, isn't it? So what must God feel when we cruise through life for weeks on end, and it's only in a crisis that we're motivated to pray? And even then, we're accusing him of not being there or not doing his job properly. Like, we hate being treated like that as human beings. You know, God must be so, I don't know, angry and sad and all sorts of emotions, all wrapped up in some sort of divine soup. But when that sort of thing happens with my kids, I'll get all superior and high and mighty. I will firmly take and occupy the moral high ground while sitting on my high horse. You know, oh, right, oh, so you want to talk to me now, do you? Well, maybe you need to think about how you treat people. You weren't very keen on having anything to do with me earlier, were you? Now you'll talk to me. Now you want something. Oh, okay. You know, all of that sort of stuff. Again, I know it's not nice, it's not pleasant, and I know I need to pray about it. I'm just being honest. But thankfully, God is different, doesn't he? He doesn't stand on his pride or sit on his moral high horse. He's actually got loads of rights to do that, hasn't he? Because he's God, and, you know, I'm not. But this is what God did in the form of Jesus. Jesus' mindset was that although he was God, he didn't consider that something to cling on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Wow. Okay, so how I have treated God in the past, and then I realize that, I read that, and I realize what he's done for me. Do I really need any more motivation to pray to him? God is God. He is wonderfully interested in us. And despite having absolutely every right to flick us away or squish us or something, he descends to our level and he takes our punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven and restored. And that's incredible generosity, isn't it? So we should have all those motivations to pray regularly, every day, about all manner of things. Because God is God and we're not. because he's desperately interested in us, because he's incredibly generous towards us. And because of those things, we can have confidence to draw near what the Bible calls the throne of grace. It shouldn't even be possible to have that kind of relationship with God. And when we pray regularly, we can have the sort of relationship with God that David has in the Old Testament. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When we feel in our hearts and our souls and our bones that God cares for us, that he is your refuge, then we'll all actually have that confidence when we leave this building, that just to talk about him. And so practically, what does this mean? We know now, hopefully, that the liberating motivations to pray. But how do we actually strengthen our prayer lives? Because despite all of that, it's often something that we all struggle with sometimes. How do we apply this head knowledge of, oh yeah, that's a really good idea and I want to do something about that this week, into something that will really change our habits? Well, I've done a little bit of thinking about this, and I've looked at various bits of advice. And again, none of this is massively groundbreaking, but let's go for it. I said earlier that prayer is talking to God. It's not, from what I can understand, listening to God. It's talking. It's not meditating. It's you know, in some cultures, in some traditions, there's that idea of mindfulness that kind of brings around a sense of peace and tranquility. But I don't think that Christian prayer is meant to be all zen and calm. I think it's meant to be noisy and dirty and full of effort. You know, we're told that prayer is a battleground. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of the heavenly places. And someone said at our fire starters meeting up in Leeds last week, the image of lifting your hand up in prayer could actually be the stunts of a boxer, because prayer is a battleground, and on that battleground, everything is won or lost. So in our daily prayer life, we're encouraged to pray biblically. Pray in the Spirit, as David said earlier on in this service. Bible prayers are filled with passion and grief and weeping and anger and compassion and happiness and despair and arguments and persuasion, and that's okay. Martin Luther of the Reformation said that he attacked the Lord with his own promises, taking his cue from some of the Psalms. You know, Lord God, you said this, and I'm going to hold you to your word. Bible prayers are filled with faith and trust and questions. You know, how long, O Lord? How long? And it's often helpful to say words out loud. I know lots of people sometimes find it difficult to actually pray out loud. I'm not one of those people to whom it comes very naturally. But for me, I find that my thoughts drift off less when I do say my prayers out loud. You know, when I think my prayers in my head, sort of thinking, oh, God will hear them, because God's God and he can hear my thoughts. When I do that, I find that my mind wanders off. But actually saying the prayers helps me focus, and it might help you. I guess that's why people often go to a quiet place. You know, Jesus, as we saw, often withdrew and prayed. He also said, when you pray, say, didn't he? If it's good enough for Jesus, I guess it's good enough for us. When you pray, go into your room, shut your door and pray to your Father. That's what it says in Matthew. That's what Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 6. Lots of people find it useful to keep a prayer diary. That might be something that you might find useful. Help write your prayers down. It helps you look back and see where prayers have been answered. It gives thanks to God for those, but it also helps us to focus and keep praying with persistence about things. So if you're thinking about freshening up your daily prayer life, that might help you. Someone I know said that they have a list of everyone in the church, just names, and they keep it in their Bible or they keep it wherever they normally pray, and they look down that list during prayer time And they said that it helps them pray for specific people. Maybe not the first person that comes to mind, but I know that that person's going through something and I'm going to pray for them specifically. And I guess that links back to what I was saying a fortnight ago about we grow in our relationship with God and encourage other people. In Galatians, Paul sets out what Christianity is about, and he lays out that it's not religion. It's about relationship. It's about being a child of God, about being an heir. So when we pray, and we've said that we should, this should be a daily thing, we should want it to be a daily thing in our hearts, we should be praying as a child can approach a father. And just like a child has got the ultimate confidence to run up to their parent and basically interrupt and ask questions, then we should have that confidence as well to pray to God the Father like that. And I think that's amazing because that means we don't have to pretend. You know, we can be real. We can be who we are. We can acknowledge exactly how we feel. He is our Father in heaven. And Bible prayers are full of real feelings. It says, to the Lord we pour out our souls. And when we're depressed or angry or confused or conflicted or joyful, then that's the part of our being that God is interested in. Whatever is deep in your soul, the Bible encourages you to pour out to God. Our confidence grows and our effectiveness as disciples increases when we bring our anxieties and our praise and our thanks and our questions to God in prayer every day, in good times and in bad. I remember one prayer I prayed in January and it started, Lord God, Heavenly Father, I love you, but I am so angry with you. And I think that's okay. So be real. Use a normal voice. There's no need to have funny language. It says in the Bible that God is our Abba Father. And that's family language. That's language of the home. That's not language of religion and the temple. You know, Jesus says, forget religion. Use the family word. Our Father in heaven. Let's not think it more complicated than it really is. So as I start wrapping up, an intentional and authentic daily prayer life will help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. It will help us to know God more. And it will help us not just to keep that good news to ourselves, but take it out. Take it out into the other 166 hours of our week that we're not in here. Because there are people out there that desperately need to hear it. And that might not be standing outside the cafe with a sandwich board saying Jesus saves. For most of us, it isn't. But it's about journeying alongside people and gently mentioning, not shying away from. Our daily lives are never easy places to be disciples. They're not. That's why we always have to think about it. But we'll be more confident when we prioritize our relationship with God and learn to lean in on him. And a daily prayer life is one part of this. And if you feel like a beginner in all of this, or you feel as if you've really messed up, then that's fine. That is absolutely okay. Find someone, talk to them about it. Come and talk to me or David or anyone else. Maybe you can encourage each other. Maybe you can get advice about what they find helpful. You know, come to the front and talk to somebody at the end of the service. We'll pray for you. But most important, talk to somebody who is bothered about you, who is powerful enough to strengthen you, and who desperately wants to hear from you. That's the person that you really need to talk to. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Abba. Thank you that you are a good and loving Father who is deeply interested in every aspect of our lives. Father, we're sorry for those times that we've not talked to you for too long. We're sorry for those times that we've tried to hide things from you, or that we've not truly believed that you really wanted to know. Father, we're sorry for those times that we've doubted that you could answer our prayers. Lord, through your Spirit, please strengthen us. Strengthen our desire to know you. Increase our desire to talk to you every day in prayer. Help us, Lord God, to approach your throne confidently, to know you better, to grow in our relationship with you. And Lord, please help us to take this precious news of salvation to those that we meet in our daily lives. The harvest is ripe. For your glory, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Let's just continue in prayer. I'm going to pray for a few things and then I'm going to ask David to take over. I want to pray for some things specifically to do with us in our fellowship here. So, Father God, I pray for our toddler group on Tuesday, Lord. I thank you so much for its incredible success, for the fact that there are so many people that want to be part of that toddler group. And I thank you so much for the people that run it and serve you in that way, Lord. Father, I pray that Jesus conversations take place during that group. I pray that people are approached by you and your Spirit, touched by your goodness, by your presence, and by your word. And Lord, whatever those Jesus conversations look like, whatever is right, then help us to do what you lay on our heart, the words that you lay on our heart. Father, I pray for Lunch Club on Thursday. And again, Father, I praise you that there are so many people that want to come to that on Thursday, Lord. Lord, give us a problem that we can't fit them into that schoolroom. Send us so many people that Carol has a headache about how much soup she's got. Because we know that you will provide. Father God, we pray that invitations will be made for friends and neighbours to come along to that. That it will be a way of reaching out into the community alongside people that don't really know you. Father, we pray for the Swallowness Baptist Church leadership team who's meeting on Thursday. On Thursday evening, as we discuss and we discern the direction of this tiny part of your global church, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you are in every part of the conversation, that we listen carefully to what you are guiding us to do, and that we are faithful and obedient in what you want us to do. Heavenly Father, please place a name on each one of our hearts, somebody that doesn't know you yet, that we could either invite to Messy Church in 3 weeks' time, or even to one of the Easter services. Father, speak to us and help us to respond. Give us the courage to draw alongside those people. And Father, finally, I ask that you place a name into our minds and our hearts today from somebody within this fellowship. Somebody within this fellowship that we might contact halfway through the week. Meet up, give a phone call to, send a WhatsApp, and pray with them. Father, who could it be that we draw alongside this week from this fellowship to pray with, to pray for, to encourage, to know you more, to love you more, and to grow with you. Amen.
Yeah, Father God, as we go deeper in with you, maybe just in this time as we're sat, we just open our hands, we release and unclench our hands. We just rest them, palms up on our laps. Lord, we want to receive from you this day. Lord, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Lord, would you renew us, re-energize us, and fill us with Holy Spirit? Lord, would you help us to go from here energized and refreshed, recharged, to go and be, to go and do, to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you lead us on a journey to those that are in need, whether we know them or not. Lord, would you open those opportunities where we may just encounter a conversation with someone, and it may just simply be that act of listening, intently, actively listening. And Lord, you would just place those words upon us that you want to say into that individual or into those people's lives. Words that would strike them at their very heart to know that they are encountering the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you enable us wholeheartedly to serve you? Enable us to be obedient to your word and to your call that you have upon each and every one of us. Because to not do that is to be disobedient. And Lord, you called us to serve. And we call to you to enable us to do just that. Not in our own strength, not in our own way, but Lord, in the way that you would take us and re-energize us and refresh us and lead us to those that are surrounded by a cloud of darkness. Where, Lord, your light would burst through. So, Lord, we simply ask that you would show us and guide us on our way to simply do what you have called us to do, and that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, in this moment, we just recall and reflect upon what, as Rob said to us this morning, Lord, you've spoken through him. You've reminded us that there's an act and a necessity to go and to do, to be obedient, to serve. But Lord, in that sense, not to be anxious about anything, but in all things, at all times, in all situations, to be reminded that you are always with us. Lord, just help us in this world in which we live, where it seems to be in such chaos and where there seems to be fearmongers and the doom and the gloom that just so easily wraps and snares us into a time of confusion and chaos. Lord, would you just enable us to shake that off? If necessary, to not listen to those things, to not watch the news or to believe into the lies that are being fed in through social media and in through other people, but yet cling on to that truth that you have given us. Words that are far more precious than gold or silver. Words that have stood the test of time and through the refiner's fire that come out stronger than anything. Lord, would you allow us to have the words to say in confidence, in power, and in truth, to deliver those from those dark times and places. Lord, we pray for this wider community. We pray for this wider county of Yorkshire and across the other counties that make up the UK. For Lord, all that is going on within this country at the moment, we just pray, come, Lord. Come, have your way. Rise up, your servants and your saints, to go and take your word into those places, Lord, where it is most needed. May there be an uprising in power and in truth of seeing this harvest that is ripe. Lord, would you enable the workers to turn their focus back to you and to know that we are called, that we are sent with a message far more powerful, far more precious than anything can come against. Lord, we look at this world as well in turmoil. We look at all the different things that are going on, the threats that are made of war, of Armageddon even, at the push of a button it could all be over, but yet at the word of you, it can be so much more better. So Father God, we pray for your global church. We pray for all the brothers and sisters that this day, this time, will be across the world worshipping and praising your name, Lord. Seeing the Spirit move amongst us. Seeing your word come to life. Not just in word, but in deed also. That people are moved and mobilized to go, that this new wave of a movement takes rise in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ. As your people are sent to go and share in love, in truth, in spirit and with grace. So Father God, help us this day and all the days to come. That no matter what we're facing, that no matter what we're going through, we know that you are with us. That your goodness will follow us surely all the days of our lives. That we stand convinced in the truth that your story is truth. That the good news of Jesus is for one and all. That, Lord, you would send us. That we would dare to step out in the name and in the boldness of Jesus Christ and to go and to share with one another. Lord, that we would see a movement of people rising from their knees, rising in new life in the power of you, Lord. So, Father, we simply say, come. Have your way amongst us. Fill us, renew us, energize us. Give us that boldness and that confidence to go out. Wash over us in your blood, that we be whiter than snow, that we are cleansed, that we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. And in doing so, we are compelled to move and to go into the places where you would send us. Lord, as we speak, would ears be receptive and hear your word, that they too would be compelled to move, to come to know you. Who is this Jesus? Let us simply tell you, he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He died upon that cross for you. Receive, freely receive, because freely he gives. Lord, come and move this day, we pray. For your name in your glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you. Let's just say together the grace as we've learned.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.